beautiful week. I know I've been getting so many questions about when my podcast is going to go up. I know I originally had said that I would stick to an every Monday schedule. I'm thinking now maybe we're going to switch it to Tuesdays because I feel like Tuesdays is just an easier day for me to do my podcasts. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'm sure you don't really care what day it is. So hello, everybody. I am sitting here just after my workout drinking my apple cider vinegar and some water. So if you hear me taking sips throughout the podcast, that's what it is. So I'm going to take one right now. Oh my God, how awful is it hearing that? I hope that didn't come out totally ASMR. So today's episode is going to kind of pick up from where I left off on last week's episode, where I spoke about friendship and I ended the episode talking about how I believe that wellness, our own personal wellness and taking care of ourselves can help us out with friendships. And it's funny because a few days after I had recorded that podcast, I happened to stumble upon a conversation between two doctors. One of them is Dr. Josh Axe, who you are probably familiar with. He is he's a pretty famous doctor on social media. He also has a podcast. And I was introduced to him originally through a book that I read, his book. I stumbled upon his book by accident when I started to get into the ketogenic diet. And I read one of his books. And then I started following him on social media. And I just really like his point of view and like the way he kind of, he's kind of like me where he really thinks about the whole wellness of everything and the whole holistic approach, I guess you could say, to wellness. And him being a doctor, I find it fascinating to see doctors who are now taking the more kind of holistic approach and really, really focusing on diet and on exercise, stress, things like that, sleep. So I've been following him recently. And I just, like I said, a few days following that previous episode, I heard a conversation between him and Dr. David Perlmutter about how lifestyle impacts your decision-making ability. And I found it fascinating because I felt like in that conversation, they were talking about all these things that like I've been saying for so long that, you know, just hearing two doctors kind of confirm it and say, this has been scientifically tested and proven makes it like, whoa, okay, I got to share this with you guys. So I'm going to start by talking about sleep. Okay. I want to start from here. This is like the least obvious, but I want to talk about it. I have been saying for years on my YouTube channel, in my talks, in my lectures, whenever I talk, whenever people ask me, like, how do you get a lot done? I always tell them I sleep a lot. And people are like, what? That makes no sense. Ashley, I spoke about this also on the episode 2 weeks ago when I spoke about time management, when I said that part of my time management is sleep. And people were always like, that makes no sense. You know, Ashley, you do so much, you must not sleep a lot. And I'm like, actually, I sleep quite a bit. And I've always, always seen the connection between my ability to get things done, to make better decisions, to get my anxiety, like, you know, under control, to get my ADHD under control. For me, it has always been sleep. I've always loved sleeping. And it's always improved my quality of life so much. And hearing these two doctors talking about how all of these scientific tests that were done, you know, on the brain, Dr. Perlmutter is a neurologist, actually. So he was talking about it from like the brain's point of view, how, you know, sleep is so important and how sleep actually helps us make better decisions. And so I was like, yes, I heard this and I was just like, yes. So basically what I learned from that conversation, and I'm going to very oversimplify this because they were two doctors and I am not a doctor, so I'm just going to explain the little bit of what I understood. But basically we have a few parts in our brain that are responsible for different things, and the amygdala is our kind of like, I guess you could say our ancestral brain or like caveman brain, the part of the brain that basically allows us to be like more impulsive and to be more like to behave in ways that were more like as a narcissist and like things that are more, I guess, like survival, kind of put us in like that survival mode. And then we have the prefrontal cortex, which is what sets us apart from other animals, I guess, from what I understood, that is the part of the brain that is allows us to be compassionate and to connect with, you know, other people and to make us more empathetic and things like that. And so he was talking about how actual like physical things that we do to our body interrupt that connection between our amygdala and our prefrontal cortex. And he showed that if you take somebody, or he spoke about that, they've done a study where they, if you take somebody and you don't let them sleep, and then you do an MRI on their brain, you see that the amygdala, that kind of how did they call it? They called it like an ancient part of your brain or whatever it is, like the most, like the first kind of part of the brain that we had, like from evolution, you know, like the part that we needed when we were literally needed to like live alone in nature in the jungle and whatever. So that part of the brain, the amygdala, was like really lit up, you know, in the MRI when the person had not been sleeping. And then if that area of your brain is lit up and like that's the part that's really working right now, then obviously you're going to make decisions based on impulse, based on anger, based on rage, based on emotions that are like very, very primitive, as opposed to the prefrontal cortex, which will make you go, okay, stop, think like a rational person and don't behave, you know, as an animal would behave. And he kind of, he spoke a little bit also about how the amygdala is very strong, like with children. It's a very strong part of the brain with children before the prefrontal cortex really gets, I guess, like grows or evolves as you mature. And that's why with children, we'll see, you know, a child getting upset when he doesn't get what he wants, or temper tantrums and things like that, that as a person ages, we don't really see that behavior as much because the prefrontal cortex has developed. Anyways, what I found super interesting, like I said, is that these scientific studies have actually proven what I have always said, that I need to sleep, man. So sleep is so important in helping you make rational decisions. And nobody wants to make decisions out of impulse. And nobody wants to make decisions out of the most primitive part of our brain, right? We want to make decisions based on emotion and compassion and, you know, a clear way of thinking. And I don't know, I just found that so interesting. And the whole conversation actually led me into thinking like, oh my gosh, I need to sit down and talk more about wellness, because I always throw out this term like wellness, you know, what is wellness? Why am I so into wellness? What is this new concept that I'm throwing around? So basically wellness for me really is healthy lifestyle, and healthy lifestyle for me is a holistic approach, meaning I don't only look at exercise and diet, but I also look at, you know, your emotions, your levels of stress, which stress is kind of on the fence, because on the one hand, it is an emotional thing, but on the other hand, it's totally a physical thing as well. And I just, a few days ago, I was under a lot of stress, to be honest, and I posted a picture on Instagram, which, by the way, thank you so much to all my new followers from around the world who started following me on Instagram. I see you, and I know you're coming from here, from my podcast. So I see you, and thank you so much, and I'm so happy you're with me now. So I promise I will be uploading more content in English on my Instagram, because I know you are wanting it. But I did put up a picture of the back of my neck a few days ago, and I showed that I have kind of like, it looks kind of like eczema, or atopic dermatitis, basically like skin asthma. And for me, what triggers it is stress, 100%. It started during my third pregnancy. During my third pregnancy, I had gestational diabetes and also my, you know, the unborn baby who is now my third child, my son, but the unborn baby, the fetus, there was a heart issue and we didn't really know until the last minute, you know, until week 38 of pregnancy, if I was actually going to have the baby or not, if I was going to end up having to, end, you know, the pregnancy. And so I was under a lot of emotional stress during that pregnancy, and that's the first time it came out. And ever since then, anytime that I have, you know, a little bit of stress or a little bit of anxiety, boom, there it is. I have those red, itchy bumps all over my neck and the back of my ears. So I posted up that picture, and what I'm trying to say is basically stress for me is like it's on the fence. It's half of an emotional issue, but it's also a physical one too, because when you're stressed, you know, your body is creating more cortisol. It's actually a physical thing. Healthy lifestyle for me is not only stress, diet, exercise, but it is also, you know, like meditation and happiness and maybe getting out into nature. Everybody has their own little thing. So for some people, it's prayer. For some people, it really is that connection to earth. People like to go hiking. Everybody has their own little connection. And I used to hate going to the beach, but it was because I hated the sand. Ever since I kind of released it, I'm actually starting to really love going to the beach and just sitting quietly by myself and just watching the waves come in and go. And little things, you know, I'm changing, I'm maturing, I'm evolving. But anyways, what I'm saying is healthy lifestyle, totally, if you're taking into account the holistic approach and everything, I think it really is the best way to make the best decisions in life and how to succeed in your goals and in your career and in your relationships, as we were speaking about in the previous episode. So I just found this conversation so interesting. And basically, these two doctors were also talking about how, you know, they were talking about the benefits of a ketogenic diet or a low carb diet. And basically, you know, ketogenic is not right for everyone. I'm on a ketogenic diet, but it certainly is not the best thing for everyone. And not everyone can, you know, can actually sustain a ketogenic diet or do it properly. So I'm not one to advocate that everyone needs to be on a ketogenic diet, but definitely from all of the lectures and all of the doctors that I've heard over the past year of me like researching this, or I guess almost 2 years, you know, everyone kind of agrees that the best way to go is definitely a low carb diet, and the carbs that you are taking in should be, you know, the healthy whole grains and the sweet potatoes, at least get in your, you know, your vitamin A and all those kind of things. And you definitely don't want to be eating the processed, refined sugars, those, you know, simple carbs. You know, I feel like it's pretty well known, but I guess there's still people out there who get pretty upset when I say that. People do get upset when I say you should be on a low-carb diet, and people are like, oh, how can you say that? Carbohydrates are super important. Carbohydrates are important, but you should be having low-carb, and you should be eating the right kind of carb. And people think that if you are, you know, people think that carbs are so important for energy that they're eating that poor quality carbs. And no, that's not what you should be doing. You should be eating high quality, healthy carbs, if anything. So these two doctors were talking about how inflammation is something so important in terms of your decision making as well, because inflammation in the body is what will actually interrupt that connection between the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. So interesting how diet really does play such a big role on your decision-making processes. And it's something that I feel ever since I've changed my diet. I feel like I'm genuinely happier, but also that I am making better decisions and that I am thinking more clearly and that I am able to kind of see what I really want. And when you're making decisions, you want to be making decisions from from the point of view where you're not, you know, you're not stressed, you're not pressed for time, and you're not making a decision that you think is the right one, but you're not sure. Like, you want to be sure that this is what you want and that this is the right decision. And so diet plays a huge, huge impact. Eating shitty food will make you make shitty decisions. And this is something that I am so happy that I can like say out loud, because I always just felt like, oh, Ashley, you can't say that. There's no like scientific evidence. And I literally just listened to two doctors talking about all this scientific evidence that proved everything that I've always believed in. So I'm really excited. If you can't tell by my voice, I'm super excited about this. So what foods are anti-inflammatory? Or you know what? First, let's talk about what is inflammatory. Basically, our, you know, the standard diet of the Western world. So whether you are in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, here in Israel, so the standard diet today, and it's becoming the global diet as well, you know, as all of these American fast food chains are expanding and globalization. And obviously there is a huge cost benefit in poorer countries to adopt the Western way of eating, because it's much cheaper and the food has a much longer shelf life and it's easier to transport. So there's obviously advantages from that point of view, but from a health point of view, you know, it's increasing diabetes and heart disease and stroke and cancer. So we are looking for, you know, leaning towards diets that are anti-inflammatory. These Western, our globalized Western way of eating, which is very, very processed, refined oils, sugars, simple carbs, very high trans fat, alcohols, white rice, white flour, white bread, pasta, pastries, like all of those things, plus the imbalance of a really high omega-6 diet versus omega-3. So just to give you just kind of like a generalization, the average American has 21 times has omega-6 21 times more than they have omega-3 in their body. And they, you know, basically it's agreed upon that the healthiest ratio is about 2-1 or maybe 4-1, not 21-1. So, you know, high omega-6 oils are safflower oil, sunflower oil, corn oil, peanut oil, soybean oil. So we definitely want to avoid those things, and we really want to increase our anti-inflammatory foods and kind of balance out that ratio also between omega-3s and omega-6s. So obviously really, really great for omega-3 are fatty fish for the omega-3 fatty acids. So salmon, obviously wonderful. And some other anti-inflammatory foods, you know, ginger, which will alleviate stomach problems, and it's awesome. Like, I add ginger to almost everything. Turmeric, if you don't know already, curcumin is like the active ingredient. It's like the compound in turmeric, which helps to reduce inflammation. It is, because it helps in reduce inflammation, it's very popular as a face mask. So in the beauty industry as well, but just so, so healthy. And also, just a little something I want to add is that using ginger and turmeric and all kinds of spices, you always kind of, if you can, you want to get it from the root. So I have always been using turmeric as a ground spice. And recently I've been purchasing the root and actually kind of grating it myself, which just makes it so much more potent, so much more flavorful as well. Berries, really, really great. They're antioxidant and they are anti-inflammatory. So raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, chili peppers, super, super, super healthy, anti-inflammatory. Almonds and walnuts, anti-inflammatory, also great sources of omega-3 fatty acids. Olive oil, of course, as well, has a whole load of health benefits, but one of them also being anti-inflammatory. You don't want to be using your olive oil, though, at high temperatures, because then it does oxidize and becomes toxic. So we're not going to do that with olive oil, but adding you know, extra virgin olive oil to your salad or in your tahini, whatever it is, super healthy. What else? Tomatoes are really great for anti-inflammation. Leafy greens. Leafy greens, dude, leafy greens are the best for everything, I've noticed. For your vitamin Ks and your vitamin A's and your vitamin E's and your vitamin C's and everything. So spinach, kale, collards, broccoli, cauliflower. You definitely want to be eating as much of those leafy greens as you can. If it's hard for you to get them all into your diet, I love adding them to shakes because it's just so easy to pack so many different greens into a shake. Add a little bit of coconut cream and peanut butter. So delicious. Like you can barely even taste the greens. So yummy. So obviously, there is a huge, huge, huge benefit to eating an anti-inflammatory diet for all kinds of health benefits, but also when it comes to our actual ability to function, for our brain to function, because that inflammation in the body also makes the like I said, the amygdala not able to connect with the prefrontal cortex. And then we are actually making decisions based on narcissism, based on fear, based on that kind of fight or flight mechanism, or again, that really, really, really primitive part of our brain. We don't want to be making decisions based on that. So it's so crazy for me because I speak so much about how to make proper decisions. And of course, there's a lot of factors that you can take into when you're talking about how to make the proper decision or what is the proper decision to take or to make. But nobody talks about the healthy lifestyle aspect of it. And there actually is. So exercise. Exercise is a really, really important way. When I'm not even talking about, you know, the benefit of losing weight, I'm not talking about the, you know, the benefit of how your body's going to look toned and nice, and not even talking about, you know, the benefits to your heart and to all these different areas of your body that you're working out. But working out, doing exercise, releases those happy hormones, right? We know about the endorphins, we know about the serotonin, we know about the adrenaline. All of these are released when we're exercising. So beyond the benefit of being like, oh, it makes me feel good that my body looks good, so it's making me feel good, the exercise itself is actually making you feel happy. When you feel happy and your body is less inflamed, because the exercise also helps to reduce inflammation, you are enabling your body to make better decisions. You are actually strengthening the cognitive ability of your brain. This is, wow, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like when you find things that are good for you in one aspect, it is so much fun to find out that it is benefiting you in so many other aspects of your life that you might not even have thought of. So diet, exercise, stress, again, so stress is not good for inflammation. Your exercise will help reduce the stress, of course. So they're all kind of interconnected, right? So again, when you're stressed, your body creates the cortisol. The cortisol also has an impact on that connection in your brain between those, the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. So again, cortisol, the stress, the actual hormone that you're creating when you are feeling stressed, is making you make poor decisions. So when somebody says to you, it is not important to take an hour out of your day to unwind, or to take an hour out of the week to go get a massage, or whatever it is that de-stresses you. For some people, it is surfing. I have a friend who surfs, and he literally says his 1 hour a week where he is surfing, it's just him and the waves. Like, that is the best anti-stress that he could ever do. So whatever it is that you like to do that actually makes you feel less stressed, turn off your phone, go take a bath, whatever it is, read a book. It will help you make better decisions. So meditation is really great for that. So a lot of the times when we stop thinking about what we think we need to be thinking about, that's when we are then able, and we literally stop thinking about it, okay? Like we're meditating, we reach that point where we're not thinking about it, our thoughts come and go, and we're able to reach a deeper level of meditation. That's when we come out of the meditation all of a sudden like, oh my God, I got it. I have the idea. Oh, I know what I need to do. Oh, I made my decision. It's when you weren't thinking about it. It's when you were meditating. It's when you cleared your mind. You let your brain turn off for that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it was, to actually clear out all that junk, all that noise, all the trash that needs to be let out. And so sleep goes, going right back into what I was talking about at the beginning of the conversation, sleep is so important for the anti-stress and for cleaning out your brain. Sleep actually drains out the lymphatic liquids from your brain, which is literally like making you have brain fog. So sleep is so important. And so when I am asked to go out at night, when my friends are like, and this is again kind of linking back to the previous episode about friendship. So if you haven't heard that one yet, I strongly recommend you to go listen to that one as well. When people say to me, you know, the only time I can see you is at 9:30 at night or 10 o'clock at night, let's meet for a coffee. I'm at the point in my life where I say no, because I know how I feel the next day when I go to sleep really late at night. I try my hardest to be sleeping by around 10:30. Maybe 11 o'clock every night. Now, recently that I've been studying, because I have, you know, I don't know if I've actually shared this on here with the podcast, but I'm back in school now, and I'm learning holistic nutrition from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. And I'm loving it so much, but there is a lot on my plate. So I am finding myself in the evenings like studying. And sometimes I'm right in the middle of a chapter and I don't want to finish. And I find myself like reading till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. I know how that makes me feel the next day. I've seen it. It makes my reading the following night less effective because I'm tired. So I'm putting an end to it, and I'm going back to going to sleep at 10:30 at night, no matter what. And I'll find my time during the day to read to study and to read my books. But absolutely, like when I wasn't studying, I was literally sleeping like 9-10 hours a night, especially when I was pregnant. When I was pregnant, I was totally sleeping like 11 hours every night. And people were like, how are you getting things done if you're sleeping so much? And that is precisely it. The more you take time, and I guess this is what I'm going to like, this is my summary of everything I want to say today. The more you take time in investing in yourself, if it's reducing your carbohydrates, your refined sugars, your processed foods, it's trying to be more conscious about what we're eating, you know, more, whether it's more plant-based, more grass-fed, more organic, you know, kind of reducing our footprint on our planet as well. Trying to buy things that are, like I said, grass-fed, organic, free-range, or plant-based completely, trying to reduce our footprint, and being more aware of what we are putting into our bodies, reducing the alcohol, not smoking, of course, don't even get me started on smoking, trying to switch to cleaner beauty, so avoiding the SLS and avoiding the parabens and avoiding the synthetic fragrances in our beauty, and being more mindful about exercise, and not only from the viewpoint of, oh, I want to get into shape, but also from the viewpoint of, I want to be a better person, I want to be less stressed. Taking that time for yourself to de-stress, taking that time to sleep, and to not only get enough hours of sleep, but to get the best quality of sleep. So invest in a good pajama that makes you want to go to sleep. Invest in the best, you know, linens and bed sheets that make you want to get into bed and it's all nice and cozy. And investing in a great diffuser to diffuse some essential oils in your room before you go to sleep, or whatever it is that helps you get into a better sleep, into that stage three, stage four sleep where your body and brain are actually recovering from the day. Not only like not that superficial sleep. If you've ever heard taking a nap during the day, you don't actually, like a short nap, you don't actually let your body get into that recovery kind of sleep. And therefore it doesn't really take off the need for good sleep at night. So I don't nap. Maybe, you know, also for me personally, when I wake up from a nap, I feel more tired. That's just me personally. But I prefer to get as much as I can done during the day and as much sleep and good quality sleep at night as I can. So, and I'm speaking as someone who has an 8-month-old, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And believe me when I tell you, there is not one night that goes by where I'm not woken up at least twice. So my 8-month-old is waking me up every night, and at least once an additional time, someone else will wake up. So I had my 2-year-old rolled out of his bed last night, and then he started crying, and so he woke up the 6-year-old. So the 6-year-old came to my room, and then I got everybody back to their beds, and then the baby woke up for feeding, and then the crying of the baby woke up the 4-year-old, who, after I put the baby back to sleep, the 4-year-old comes into my room and goes, "Mommy, I'm having a bad dream." So guys, this is my night, okay? So when I say I'm still trying to get my 9 or 10 hours sleep, it's still not the best quality sleep that I'm able to get, but I know this is just the point in my life. I know that this will pass, and then I will definitely go back to getting my great quality sleep again. But it is super important, super, super important. And you know how when people say they have like mommy brain and they think it's because they're, you know, there's stigmas. I don't know if it's real or not, but people say that every child that you have or every pregnancy that you've been through kind of, you know, makes you a little bit more like not dumb, but it makes you kind of forgetful or clumsy, you know, things like that. I honestly think that it has nothing to do with the number of pregnancies or the number of children you've had. I think it has to do with the lack of sleep we get when we have each child and more children. So anyways, when I say wellness, this is what I mean. I mean, don't say that these things are a waste of time. Invest in it. If you are not getting your enough vitamins or minerals through your diet, first of all, try to get them all through your diet. If you are not able to get them through your diet completely, please take the supplements. It is important. When our body is lacking something, we are out of whack. When our body is not balanced, our mind is not balanced. When our mind is not balanced, we are not able to think rationally, and we are not able to make the right decisions. So it's something that I'm really passionate about. I'm really working on it even with myself. I am not perfect. Just like you, I am a busy, career-oriented mother living in a technological environment where, you know, I am also spending, the average American between the ages of 18 and 24 is spending an average of 3 hours on social media a day. That's not even behind the screen, just on social media. I find that crazy. I would say I probably spend about half an hour a day on social media, and I still feel like that's kind of a lot. And you know, there's so much positive and negative, again, out of social media and our technology world and everything. Like, there's no way, obviously, I know people are going to be listening to me and they're going to be like, "Ashley, we live in a world where we cannot be living like you think we should be living, with all the sleep and with eating only organic and eating only grass-fed and with no stress and exercising every day and always eating 100% right." And I agree with you. We live in a world where it is extremely difficult. And the only thing I can say to myself is that my goal is to be as close to my goals as possible. Not that if I don't eat 100% of the time organic, I am a failure. Absolutely not. When we are able to eat organic, eat organic. When we don't find, you know, organic tomatoes in our local grocer and we need tomatoes and we don't have time to go looking at all these kind of different, you know, farmers markets or whatnot, then just buy the regular tomatoes. It's all good. But when we do have the ability to to get organic or to get grass-fed. And I know what you're thinking, Ashley, that's expensive as well. You're right, it is. It is more expensive to eat organic. But what is more expensive down the line? Like investing, like, how could I put this? If we're gonna end up getting, God forbid, disease because of our lack of mindfulness towards ourselves, our bodies, our diet and whatnot, at the end of the line, we'll be willing to spend any number, right, to save ourselves, to cure ourselves from, God forbid, cancer or heart attack or stroke or whatever it is. So why not invest that money now into what we're putting into our bodies? We are what we eat, right? And I would love to think that as much as I am able to, as much as I can afford, and as much as it is available to me, I am investing in myself. Unfortunately, it is extremely hard here in Israel to find organic grass-fed animal products. It's really, really hard. So if anyone has any recommendations for me, I would love to know. Send that out to me on Instagram. DM it to me, because I'm always looking for grass-fed, cruelty-free, you know, all that organic. If anyone has recommendations, please, I would love to know. Anyways, all we can do is try our best and be mindful of our wellness. So good luck to everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, a little bit different. And once again, if you have any requests of what you'd like to hear me talk about, please shout them over to me on my DM on Instagram. That's at Ashley Waxman Bakshi. And please let me know where you're from in the world when you are sending me these messages, because I am so curious to know where everyone is from, because this is so cool to me. Anyways, have a wonderful week, and I will see you guys all next week. Ciao, ciao.